It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
What I'd like to see, Your Worship, is a whole bunch of our people on the council go and have meetings with other people in business who would all flow in business class, but then knowing that the ratepayers pay had a bit of a, had come in on the back foot and had not as good a trip and as uncomfortable, not able to set out their work as well, and I don't know why we have to pay them business class rates.
Well, the general rule is.
Hi, Phil. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mikey. Yeah, look, the general rule is that people will travel economy class unless it is a long distance haul and they are required to work immediately when they hit the ground. And I think that's fair enough.
We're reacting to something that came up a couple of days ago that sort of managed to fill up Talkback for about a day, which I thought was a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
People complaining about the amount of business class travel taken by certain members of the City Council.
Yeah. Look, I've been a member of government for a long time, and I suppose I never got any criticism when I was Trade Minister or Foreign Minister for travelling business class, because I either worked on the plane or slept on the plane, and when I landed at the other end, it was straight into work. And if you're buggered because you've been travelling for 26 hours and you can't keep awake and you can't do the business, there's no point in you being there. So, I don't criticise people that need to do business class because they actually are on business, but at the same time I do expect the council to be constrained in how they spend the ratepayers' money, and that's critical. So, if I'm doing a short haul trip, I'll go economy class. But if I'm doing a trip like I had to week before last to China, leave at midnight on Tuesday after a full day's work, fly all night, arrive at 5:30 in the morning, go straight to work, spend two nights on the ground, fly back at midnight, and do seven or eight media interviews, give seven speeches.
It's grown up. It's the reason that there is a business class. I mean, I think it was a ridiculous thing to worry about, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I do understand the public concern. If somebody's going, for a start, if somebody's going on a trip that's not justifiable, they shouldn't be going at all.
Yeah, but that's not what we're doing. People are just talking about the cost of it, and I think it's just, I just think they grow up a wee bit.
I think we've got to be sensible and not abuse that privilege, but at the same time, we send our chief financial officer over to negotiate $830 million worth of loans and bonds to finance the city's development. I don't want her to fall asleep on the job or not to be sharp in what she's doing. So there are clear exceptions to the rule where you should be able to travel business class, but you don't want to abuse that privilege, and I think that's the balance in it.
So she's over there doing what? So what? You've done what?
Well, I'm using an actual example. She's just come back from a trip where we've got huge investments to make in transport and housing infrastructure, etc. We're so big now that the local market doesn't provide all the funds that we need, so we have to go out on the euro bond market, etc.
See, is something you don't think about when we think about the super city, do we? We don't think about that. Make some money, get the rates in. We better send somebody out into the euro bond market. What the what?
Yeah. Well, we're $1 billion bloody enterprise.
$1 billion enterprise.
We're not a borough council, and it's a serious amount of money, and it's a serious investment that we need, and we've got to do it well. We've got to do it professionally. I'm using those as examples, but look, I had to go to Brisbane to do something there. I didn't take any staff with me. Two, I flew economy class because it's 3 hours. Of course I can fly economy class, and there's no need for business class in that. The people that were staffers that went up to Guangzhou with me.
I'm not worried about any of that, Phil.
They travelled economy,
I'm not worried about that. I just wanted to make sure that you thought it was a silly issue as well. What I am worried about, the valuations, house valuations across Auckland came out last week.
Yep.
Most houses went up across, on average, 48%. 40. That's a big. Does that? So does that mean rates are going to go up 40? I mean, what?
No.
Okay. Bing, bing, bing. Yep.
I think people had two reactions. One, they looked at it and they said, "Ah, God, I'm much wealthier than I thought." And then they thought, "Oh my God, what does this mean in terms of my rate?
Oh, does this mean that no one I know is ever going to buy my house? Does this mean I'll be able to move anywhere nearby when I buy my new place? No.
We shouldn't feel too great about the value of our place, because if you want to keep living in Auckland, you sell one place, you've got to buy another place.
Yeah, exactly.
And it costs more money too. But the first myth to dispel is that doesn't automatically mean a rate increase if the value of your property goes up. There is no windfall effect to council from increased valuations. What the valuation exercise does is determine that people with property of an equal value pay the same rates. So it redistributes. If one area goes up a whole lot more than another, then it redistributes the level of the rate increase from the area that hasn't gone up in value as much to the area that went up in value more. Now, in the last rate round, it was basically properties in the isthmus that shot up, and the south and the western part didn't move so quickly. Now the west and the south have caught up, so their property values have gone up, you know, probably 10-15% more than the ones on the isthmus or on the shore. But it doesn't in itself produce a single dollar of extra rate revenue. If your value's gone up higher than average, your rate increase will be slightly higher than average. But if it's a 45% value increase, it's not a 45% rate increase.
Right.
It'll be a relatively small rate increase. If your rateable value has gone up less than average, then any increase in rates will be less than average for you. So we haven't struck the rate yet. Last year I kept it at the general average rate at 2.5%. I'm fighting hard to try to do that again this year in face of the extra costs we're facing in infrastructure. But I'm trying to do that and maybe raise some of that infrastructure funding through targeted rates or the regional fuel tax. In fact, one part of your rates will go down, which is the interim transport levy component, which was $114 on every rateable property, and we're replacing that with a regional fuel tax. So that $114 will come off your rate bill this year, but you know, we're also talking about what we need to do and lifting the quality of water in our harbours and whether we needed a targeted rate around that. So one may balance out the other.
Good. Now, so speaking of the quality of water in our harbours, let's talk America's Cup. Let's talk big commercial cruise ship berthing, because those commercial cruise ship, there's little visits that we have there from a whole bunch of interested folk from around the world who's come in, pour in, spend money, clean out, pour in, spend money, clean out, that sort of thing. It's really important to the city. It's important that we make sure that all works, the infrastructure for that works, and that it's capable of handling all those people, and that it's up to date, and that the America's Cup boat's going to work with that as well, is what I'm asking.
No, it is important, and look, we've got this year, I've got the figures here, actually just had a report on it, that
basically lots.
Our cruise ship visits have grown from 40 in 2006 to 135 next year.
It's great when they come to town. Love it.
The passenger numbers have grown from 60,000 to 220,000. Now, the rough figures I've seen is that each cruise ship that comes in is worth about $1 million of spending in the city. So, hey, it's a good thing to have those cruise ships coming in. Helps our regional economy. And we've got to make sure that we've got sufficient berthing for that. So we've got to work around that. We probably have to put a dolphin out off the end of Queen's Wharf.
What do you mean, a dolphin?
A dolphin is a buoy. It's fixed to the floor. The sea floor. It's a concrete structure. About 1.5 meters above sea level, and if you've got the new ships that are coming in, like Ovation of the Seas, that's 360 meters long, and it's far too long to moor at to berth at the wharves that we've got. So we've got to have a dolphin that it can called a dolphin that we can tie to out further out into the harbour, and I'll be talking to councillors about that tomorrow at our governing body meeting. But I think there'll be a general desire to say, yeah, look, we want these cruise ships to come here. The tourist dollar is important in terms of jobs and in terms of income for the city, and we want to be welcoming to them. And the first thing to, you know, to be able to welcome them is so that they can berth.
Yeah.
Ovation of the Seas last time had to moor out in midstream, but it's got 4,900 passengers on.
Yeah, it's basically a little country.
It is,
isn't it?
You know, and if you're ferrying the passengers from, you know, a ship that's berthed in midstream, by the time you've unloaded
mid-channel,
them,
channel, you mean?
The channel, you've got to start loading them up again.
Right.
So obviously, we do need a way of being able to cater for them. Now, the America's Cup's another question, and I'm happy to talk about that as well if you'd like.
Have we still got time for that? Or, I mean, I thought we'd run out of time with the America's Cup. I thought we had to make a decision. It was the Italians got it.
We have to make a decision pretty quickly. We need resource consents to be lodged in January, first 2 weeks in January.
So, I mean, is this all part of tomorrow's meeting as well, or is this something...
That goes to council as well. Now, we started off with about 16 different options around the city.
What have you ended up with? Which one?
We've ended up with three options that we're looking at. The first one is the one that Team New Zealand prefers, and that's an extension of Halsey Wharf 170 metres out into the basin.
Now, this is not your preferred one, is it?
That's not my preferred one for three reasons. One, it does intrude a long way out into the basin. Two, it costs about $40 million more. And three, it takes 8 months longer to build. And we have to have everything consented and built by the mid-2019.
Right.
So we've put up, as an alternative option, a much smaller extension of Halsey Wharf, which is about 50 metres, and also building on Hobson Wharf and the Western Viaduct eastern side in a cluster of bases, all clustered around the basin, so it can have the same team atmosphere, village atmosphere that the Team New Zealand wants. And we'll need to provide the sheltered water, we'll need to provide the deep water, we'll need to provide the land space and the water space for the America's Cup to be held here. Otherwise, it would go to Italy.
So with either of these ideas, with this or the Dolphins are talking about for the cruise ships, and that, how do we make sure that we just start just milling the bottom of our harbour and just making it another big cloudy old mess?
Yeah, well, that's a constant concern.
Is there someone in the city council whose job is just taking care of that? Because I mean, I'm happy to take that on.
Yeah, good on you, Mikey. Thank you for that offer.
Thank you.
Another pro bono job for the city. Really appreciate it.
Hey, did I say pro bono?
You didn't mention the $50,000 fee.
Consultancy.
yeah. So no. Look, we are conscious of that. We've been filling the harbour in for 140 years, and we don't want to keep doing that.
We're trying to make a mess. It's a living, breathing thing, you know.
Yeah. But so we've got to try to balance those considerations against the consideration of wanting to have the America's Cup here. Why do we want the America's Cup here?
Everyone knows why. You know?
I would assume so. You know, we love the vibrancy, we love the excitement, we love the chance to support our world-beating New Zealand team and world-beating New Zealand technology, and it's worth $500 million to $1 billion in extra income to the country over the years.
That's quite handy
to have. And do we want to see it go to Italy? No, we don't. Do we have no bottom lines? No, that's not the case. We're looking for the best option at the most reasonable price that meets Team New Zealand's needs, that has less rather than more impact on intrusion into the harbour. Now, we are looking at a third option on Wynyard Point Wharf, and I still haven't got all the funding details of that, but Team New Zealand is pretty much indicating it doesn't think that could work for them for a variety of reasons. But we are looking at it because that's one of the options that Stop Stealing Our Harbours people have brought up, and I'm working in good faith with them to see if that was an alternative option that could be made to work. So we'll have some more detail on that, I hope, by end of play today.
All right, well, I'm end of play. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose that's like a sports terminology, but it makes me think of primary school for some reason. Hey, thanks, Phil. All the best. Have a great day today. Good luck with all that, and we'll speak to you again this time next week.
Okay, Mikey. Thanks. Cheers. Good to talk to you, mate.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
I like